listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host for the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We have a very special songwriter as our special guest, Miss Ellie Rollins. How are you, Ellie? All right, Miss Ellie Rollins, all the way from Hawaii. Is that correct?
Yeah, I lived in Hawaii for 24 years, and I've been here in Santa Monica / LA for almost five now.
So tell me.
Before that, the Bay Area.
I always dream of living in Hawaii. Tell me what Hawaiian life is like. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
So I lived on the Big Island, and the good is that it's incredibly peaceful. It's really beautiful. Lots of amazing people. It's like permanently has slowed me down. Like, I think I, you know how like people from California kind of talk a little bit different. Right. I'm like that, but I sound lazy because I'm just like so chill. Like, I have the extra California accent. And I joke around that I'm so Western. If I go any farther west, I'll be in the Far East. Like, that's my attitude. Like frontier. The bad is that it was very limiting as a singer-songwriter, but I did get really connected to a songwriter as far as like places to perform. Like, I'm not necessarily like the person that people want to hire at resorts. I don't dance the hula. I make fun of myself and do, you know, my version of the hula. But as an Americana cosmic country singer songwriter from California, like, that was kind of limiting, but you know, it was good. That's the only bad.
Not a bad. Yeah. That's not, that makes sense. You know, it's like,
yeah,
a lot of the work is in the hotels, you know, for the performances or restaurants or things like that. It's weird because it is such a touristy location, and there should be a bigger music scene there because there are people that do music all the time there. But I also know that people are usually coming there for vacation, and that's why the music scene doesn't thrive on that level. But there are so many locals. It's like, it should have a music scene that thrives, but, you know,
it's kind of funny because now that I don't live there full time, I'm also a business owner. I still own a business there, and I still have a home there, and I raise three kids there. Wow. Now that I'm not there full time, there is more opportunities because the music scene is starting to thrive. And I think it's because people are looking for something different, and they're not looking for that like normal tourist experience. They want like the authentic voice of the people that live there. And right. So I do play at a record store whenever I go back called U'ila, and they're amazing and host a fantastic concert series. And there's a musiquarium under the stars called the Blue Dragon that I play at. And then Nate LaPointe, who's in my band, he plays there all the time with a bunch of people from Grateful Dead cover bands. So it's starting to emerge, and the house concert scene is getting big everywhere, including Hawaii. So I play a house concert series there. And then I started curating concerts in shopping centers. And so I kind of like made my own opportunity. So now I do get to go back and perform. And it's just kind of funny that happened when I moved away.
Right.
But it's good.
Like, why
it's
wasn't good. This here when I was here?
I know.
How it is, though. That's how it is. It's funny because it's like, I kind of grew up in music and was doing a lot of professional gigs as a kid here because I was in LA. It's like, you think it's normal until you start getting old and you realize, oh my God, this only happens because you're in a major city, a major music scene, everything's here. So tell me what that move was like for you, because that's a big move to go from the Big Island to Los Angeles. Tell me what that was like for you.
Oh goodness. Well, I did it twice. I didn't survive the first time.
Why?
I moved. Like, yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I moved here first when I was 34, which was 15 years ago.
Okay.
And I felt like I was going to get PTSD from the amount of honking that happens in Los Angeles. I
Funny.
was like, oh my goodness. And I ended up making friends with an artist and a drummer in Topanga, and we were roommates in his tree house. And so that kind of, yeah, that was so my vibe coming from the Big Island. And I got really connected and made like amazing friends that I'm still friends with all of my original LA friends. And the city really embraced me. But I ended up only staying for 2 years. I had to get back home to the island, and it was best for my three children. And then once my daughter went to college, she just graduated last weekend. I
Amazing.
moved. That's how I ended up having the freedom to come back to LA. And the first time I came here was to audition for The Voice, and I didn't know I was going to move here, but I had this feeling. I call it a God shot, where like, something's gonna happen that's gonna like that the city's gonna embrace me. Like I could just feel it ahead of time. And it happened, and it kind of led me to have this goal that one day I'm gonna move back to Los Angeles, and I'm gonna stay, and I'm gonna put roots down. And that's what's happened over the last 5 years. I had like my second 2.0 God shot with a relationship with LA.
Well, the funny thing about Los Angeles, and I'm from here, it's like it took me a long time to really love the city because you see that there are some fake people. There are some people that just are trying to sell you on some bullshit. It's just, and like a lot of cities are like that, but LA has a lot of that. But
Yeah.
the other thing about it, it's like then you start traveling around and seeing what other cities are like, and you realize, man, there's so much going on in LA that's a good thing. It's a tastemaker city. Like there are tell people this all the time. There are four tastemaker cities in the world: LA, New York, London, and Paris. And every part of the world follows what those four cities are doing because fashion, music, film, art, food, it's all happening in those five places, I mean, those four cities. So it's so crazy because it's easy to be overwhelmed by the city and feel like, oh, I don't have a place. But then you realize why everything moves so fast here, and everything also is kind of a little bit cutthroat and doesn't give you the pat on the back that maybe a small town will, or a smaller country will. But the amazing thing about it is everybody comes here and you realize there's so much talent, there are so many artists, there are so many like amazing people in this place, and that's what makes the city so incredible. It's like once you find those people, it is that you find like little gems in the city, and you just are like, these people are great, So it took me a long time to kind of like have that. And I think a lot of it is because, I tell people this too. It's like native Angelenos, we see so many people come and go that it's like we're not out and about, like, welcoming everybody they come. It's like you got to find us. And it's like if you find those people and you stick around long enough, you'll find them. And then you'll realize, oh my God, this is really kind of like an amazing pocket of all the things that make life great, whether it's weather, whether it's scenery, whether it's, art and music or food, or whether it's shows, or I mean, we have it all. It's like we kind of have the best of it all. So it's really weird though, because it can give you like a hard slap across the face if you're not careful. It can
I
definitely
think
jump
I
straight.
always loved it here, even with the hard slaps. I mean, I am originally from the Bay Area, so like 0 to 25, and it's not LA, but I wasn't from like the safest part of town. And so I already had like a tough skin, but like a fragile spirit. And so that, like Bay Area, Hawaii, then coming to LA, I was like, oh, this is where I belong. And I've had the best experience. But I feel like my LA experience has not been typical. Like I hear a lot of people having the kind of experience you're describing, but and it might be because like I came here and I'm like, I'm gonna open a crystal store, I'm gonna start a concert series. And I'm the type of person that from like day one, I'm like, how can I participate and what can I give?
Yep, that's that is 100% why it probably has worked out for you, because
yeah.
I do very much the same thing, minus the crystal store, but but I think it's important to create opportunities, and just, I think the more opportunities you create, the more opportunities you get. So I feel like I always am, you know, in tow with that kind of like line of thinking. But I'm excited to have you on the Songwriters of the Round on Thursday. We're playing together on Thursday at Hotel Cafe, 7 p.m. to 8:45. Each songwriter plays 3 original songs and a cover. I'm excited to hear you play and sing. You got a guitarist coming with you. But let's play one of your songs first. What do you want to play us first?
How about Here Today? It's my most recent single. I wrote it during the LA fires, and it really, the fires ended up being a metaphor for my life at the time. Okay. So a relationship ended, it kind of burned in a blaze of glory, and so did our city. And so I'd love to share it with you guys.
All right, here it is. Here's Ellie Rollins with Here Today.
Walk through the fire to the other side. There ain't nothing left, nowhere to hide. I smell the smoke. Of the wheels turning, but I'm here today. No looking back, the path is clear. There's nothing I lack. All my tears have dried. But I'm here today. I tried to love you. You didn't understand. You tried to feel it. I slipped through. My tears have dried.
Well, the song was really beautiful. It was really awesome.
Thank you.
Cool country ballad. Tell me how you got influenced by country music in Hawaii or the Bay Area.
Isn't that weird? Well, from the time I was a little baby till I was five, I actually lived right outside Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
So like our brain develops from like 0 to 5 and then again till 7. And my grandparents had a farm and I lived on a farm and there were like cornfields everywhere. And there were actually always like members of the Grand Ole Opry at my house. Oh, wow. My grandparents had like this wraparound porch and, you know, there were always these vivid early memories of like people playing, you know, guitars and mandolins and fiddles and pictures of me dancing and memories of lightning bugs. And so like, I didn't really understand it because then we moved to the Bay Area when I was 5 and I was always a singer. My mom told me that I sang and wrote music like before I could talk. And I started like singing in public by the time I was 9 and everyone would tell me like, you have a country voice. And I was like, I do not understand that. Like I'm a California girl and like, I don't listen to country music. And then it just like started to become something I was drawn to. It was kind of like rediscovering myself as like an early child. And like I had this voice and I didn't really understand why, because where my origins were was not where I was like growing up. And right. So then those memories started to come back to me the more and more I got into songwriting, and it's like a magnet to me. So right. Kind of like weird, but right. So,
well, I'm not a country artist. I do have one, maybe two songs that can be in that country blues format. I played bass for an artist and played my first country music festival in Myrtle Beach like 2 weeks ago.
It was amazing.
Awesome. It was Luke Bryan was the headliner, Blake Shelton, and Post Malone. How was he a country artist?
Oh, he's decided, like, and he's amazing.
Yeah, he's cool. He's it was definitely better than the like kind of pop set I've seen him do at Coachella. So I like the Americana thing he's doing. But there are a bunch of artists, and we're actually going back next year, I think. We're playing it again. So we'll see. But, I mean, I love the country music scene because of the support. It's just amazing. People love unknown artists. They'll support, like, music they haven't heard before, which is great. It's like, that's what I think is great about country music, too. It's like, it's not about the hype. It's like, oh, can you write a song? Can you sing a song? I'm in. You know what I mean? So that's got to be a cool like genre that you're in. Tell me what that experience is like for you.
Well, you know, you're making me think more about like my Hawaii influence. People don't really know that country music is like super big in Hawaii. So that was like my origins of country. And then when I moved to Hawaii, everybody's into country. And that was like a way that I could like relate to that place on a musical level. And that's really where people support me in Hawaii is like, you know, my country music. And I call myself a cosmic country artist because it's just like my little niche. And it's also like a songwriter's genre. And I really appreciate that because at the heart of me, I'm a storyteller. And I feel like that's why, even though I'm an independent artist, I have a really loyal fan base. And it's because we've connected on like the stories of my life and how they feel like those are connected to them as well.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, I mean, I think that's what music's about too, connecting life stories to each other and seeing how something that you write about resonates with something somebody's going through at the same time. You know, that's the power of music. Let's play something else. I want to get to all your songs. What do you want to play?
I think we should play Wind in the Trees. It's my origin story.
All right. Here's Ellie Rollins with Wind in the Trees.
Thank you.
Mama met Daddy down where the river flows. That ain't no good, the gypsy woman said. I'm just telling you what the tarot read. Born into trouble, smoke and fire. Mama burned up as the flames got higher. Made a run for the border, nowhere to hide. Caught the last train with God on my side. I no longer feel the need to be right. I've learned the difference between darkness and light.
It's like an Appalachian vibe. I love it. Very
Thank
cool.
You.
Tell
you.
Me what was the inspiration behind it and tell me how this is your origin story.
Wow. So this is a story about, you know, all of our stories start with our parents, and my mom has substance abuse issues. And so that was, you know, caused a lot of trials and tribulations in my life. And I feel like it also made me the person that I am today, and, you know, relying on my own inner strength. And so as you hear the song and I talk about the wind in the trees, it's like, first, it's the wind in the trees. It's happening to me. And then in the next chorus, you know, it's like the wind in the trees, like maybe I can participate further in my life. And then in the end, I am the wind in the trees. Like I'm the thing that is the driving force in my life, no matter what the circumstances are.
That's amazing. I love that. And I'm sorry that was part of your struggle, but it's also what makes its way into the music. And that's what makes it powerful and makes us all relate. Tell me what that moment of Zen for you was that made you want to be a singer, songwriter, and an artist. Was it a song that played you? Was it the first time you went on a stage? What was that moment of Zen for you?
I mean, that moment of Zen came at like a very young age. It was like, for me, like some people, it's like the same that it is for others to speak, it is for me to sing. And I think where I decided I wanted to be a performer was I had this great desire to share and sing, but getting up on stage was a moment where like everything felt perfect. Like any, it was like the chaos was gone because requires your hyper focus, so there's nothing else you can concentrate on. And then there was like a secondary moment of Zen where it wasn't really only about performing, it was about like digging deep and becoming a songwriter and knowing that like I can conjure things that can bring us closer together as people.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that you explained that so perfectly. It's like I could have chaos going on in my life and then get up on a stage and it's like it pushes everything out, and it's like you will, it allows this kind of magical experience that you channel that energy into something beautiful, and it's like you end up leaving a better person from that moment. It's like one of the things I love about music the most, and it's why I keep chasing it and going back to it. And I think it's a super powerful part of what makes musicians want to be musicians. You know, it's like one of the things that we love most. Tell me what inspires you the most. Is it going through life's ups and downs? Is it like being an observer of things and emotions? Is it kind of like channeling, you know, pain into beauty? What is it that inspires you most?
I really think that it's challenges. You know, I'd like to, I mean, I'm like any other songwriter, like I don't write happy songs, you know, my friends make fun of me, that I don't like, you know, I write sad girl songs and I've tried to write happy songs, but it's the challenges that like really inspire me the most. You know, I cover happy songs to like mix it up so people don't want to like slit their wrists when they leave the show.
That's funny. You know what I do? Like, here's a little secret. I'll take a sad lyric and put happy music to it. So it's like there's a little bit of conflict in what I'm singing about. And it's weird because like I'll be singing about heartbreak and people will be dancing to it. And it's like, that's cool. It's like I'm getting that out, but I'm using that platform of, because I mean, I feel the same way when I write a sad song. It's like, okay, I can't have 45 minutes of just this. People are going to be, they're going to come excited and then they're going to leave like, maybe I should start drinking. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like this careful, like balance of like, you're creating an atmosphere and a vibe and you want people to kind of like embrace whatever it is and leave somewhat uplifted or understood on some level. So I think that is always the challenge of being a performer and an artist and a songwriter. It's like, you want to create something for yourself that speaks to you, but you want it to speak to others. And at the end of the day, you either want them to be understood or you want to be uplifted. And, you know, because life is hard enough and you just turn on the news and it's like, it's easy to feel bad about things real quick, you know? So I think you love music for the same reasons that anybody loves music. And that's to find solace, find, you know, inspiration and feel understood. So I think that's a big part of your writing. Let's play something else. What are we playing next? And tell me what the inspiration behind it was.
Well, speaking of sad songs,
perfect.
I will say if people listen to like my whole catalog or come to my shows, disclaimer, I do write, you know, music that's about sad subjects, but I do always have like end the note. Like I want people to come listen feeling one way and then leave feeling a better way. So they are songs of triumph and overcoming, but it comes out of struggle. Right. And so leading into the next song, it's called Learning to Live Alone. And, you know, I'm divorced a bunch of times. And so I wrote this song with the thought that maybe that would be it, that I would just, like, you know, after the last end of the last relationship, I thought, you know, maybe I just need to learn to live alone. And actually, that's a very empowering thought, that everything is perfectly fine on your own.
I love that. What's the name of the song?
Learning to Live Alone.
Here's Learning to Live Alone by Ellie Rollins.
She reached for the old straw broom that she kept behind the door, swept up all the petals that had dropped upon the floor. The flowers had died weeks ago, into the corner they'd blow. She was learning to live alone. It's not you, he said, but she knew it wasn't true. She tried to catch his eye, but he looked right through. Did evening stars come early? It was down to the bone. She was learning to live alone. Shadow on the earth, too much time on her hands, wondering what she was worth. She sent her lovers home early, midnight was her own. She was learning to live alone. It wasn't what she pictured, as a girl playing in the sand, conjuring the dreams that slipped right through her hands. She threw away the leftovers like hope she'd outgrown. She was learning to live alone. Old cologne. Turns out she could learn
was awesome. Very, very
Thank
cool.
Thank you.
Who are some of your biggest influences in country or any other music?
Bonnie Raitt and...
She's amazing. I just saw her. I actually, you know what? A fun fact. I sang at the Grammys when I was a kid. I was 11 years old. And she was the big winner of that show telecast with Nick of Time. She won five Grammys that night. And I just, that's how I was introduced to her. And I hadn't seen her play live until last year. And she is so amazing. I actually just bought tickets to see her again in October. She's one of the best performers I've seen. Just amazing. Across the board. So, yeah, she's unbelievable. I love her. Bonnie Raitt. Who else?
Melissa Etheridge, you know, yeah. I'm a girl of the 90s, and so I've always really been into, like, you know, the Americana rockin' singer, songwriter, Dolly Parton, Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
I love Kenny Rogers, and I'm a big fan of Patty Griffin. Like, I could
She's one of my favorites.
Yeah, just listen to that over and over again. Jewel, Alanis Morissette. So I'm, you know, all over the map.
I love that. And I love that you draw from a lot of female artists, because female artists are important. You know, it's like, I love when female artists write great songs and sing their asses off. And it just makes you, it makes you just feel alive, you know, when you hear somebody like that. So I love that you're influenced by all those artists. So where can people find you if they want to find you online and discover your music?
So I'm everywhere that you stream music. I have 4 singles out right now. I'm about to finish the EP. I just actually finished it today, right before you and I met. I'm releasing a cover, Back in the High Life Again by Steve Winwood, and that EP will be over, and we're going to follow it up with another EP. All the songs are written and almost done. So anywhere you stream music, you can find me. I have a YouTube channel that I should do a better job, but there's lots of live performances on it. My Instagram is msmiss.ellierollins. My Facebook, I'm on TikTok. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for you to find me. And then if you go to any of those or my website, ellierollins.com, you can see the calendar of all of the shows. And I perform almost once a week here in Los Angeles and beyond.
Well, I'm excited to have you on the Songwriters in the Round, Bill. The Hotel Cafe is closing for a little bit, so it's going to be cool to have you on this bill, and it's going to be a special night. And I look forward to seeing you perform your songs Thursday, June 25th, 7 p.m. to 8:45. Check out Ellie Rollins on her website, ellierollins.com, and on all major platforms. On behalf of Ellie, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Peace, love, and take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Check out Ellie's music. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.